Good morning. You are listening to Prodigal Sermons. Today we are going to be expounding on where your treasure is and where it truly lies. So if you would turn in your Bible to Matthew 16, 19 through 24, again, that's Matthew 6, 19 through 24, not 16, Matthew 6, 19 through 24, we'll see what God says in His Word. God says in His Word, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting will be noticed by men, but your will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, but where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he'll hate one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. So today, when we look at this passage, we're reminded of several biblical truths, several godly and divine proofs that should guide our lives. If we start at verse 16, we see that don't put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do when they fast. We, as Christians, we should be fasting. We should fast every now and again to grow spiritually. I know this is a struggle in my own life. It's hard for me to fast, but it's something that we should do. And when you do, whenever you do, don't put on a gloomy face. Don't say, well, I'm fasting right now, and try to, you know, to all your friends and everybody to let them know just to make them think you're more spiritual than anyone else. Your goal here, your motive here, should be to serve God. Your motive should always be to serve God and bring Him glory, not yourself. So the first point we want to talk about is our motives. What are they? What truly are they in this section? When we fast, do we do it just so other people see how holy and good and spiritual we are? When we give, do we just do it because we want other people to see how good and charitable and good we are? Is that our motive? And if that is our motive, that's the wrong motive. The Bible says, truly I say to you, they will have their reward in full. When you get your rewards from people, your whatever you want to call it, your praise from people for the good thing you do, you have your reward, the praise. What good things you do, you should do in secret. In other words, not to get fame, not to get notoriety for it. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Don't let anyone know. Don't let it be that obvious. So that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You may think that today that you do a lot of good things that no one is noticing, and you may feel unappreciated, but know that your Father in heaven sees these things. Your Father in heaven sees these things that you're doing, and He will reward you. Verse 19, and this is where the message is going to come from today. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moss and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Jesus instructed His disciples that we are not to focus our heart on earthly treasures. What will happen to money, for example? Money eventually wears out. What will happen to, you know, coins if, you know, left out? Well, they're going to rust, get bent, and get destroyed eventually. What about your house, your car? Well, eventually, I've seen it said that your car is going to eventually go to a junk heap, a junkyard, and that'd be the end of it. Your house eventually will be destroyed. one way or another, whether it lies empty and it falls in on itself, or whether it's bulldozed for something else. Your house, your car, everything that you have that is valuable to you will be destroyed one day. It will either burn or it will rot. Some people spend their entire lives chasing wealth and money and things, and there's nothing wrong with having things, for example, especially things you need, but the problem is when your motive, your whole life's goal is towards these things. That's the problem. I've heard Bodie Baucham once say that God is not against you having things. He's against things having you. Your motives, your heart, should not be on things, because if your heart is on these things, your heart will meet the same fate as these things. In other words, God doesn't want you to have foolish affections and affections for things that are going to be destroyed. If you set all your love and all your affection on, let's say, a dog, for example, or a cat, and I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong to like these things and even love a dog or cat. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that if you set all your affections on an animal that's going to live a few years and die tragically most of the time, you're setting yourself up for heartbreak. If that is going to be your sole life's goal, to love on a dog or a cat, well, it's good to, you know, be good to animals. It's good to have a dog or a cat for, you know, companionship, for fun, all those different things, for service. But if you set your entire life on that thing, eventually it's going to let you down. I remember, I think it was John Calvin that said, idols tend to break the hearts of their worshipers. Do not worship money. Do not worship things. Do not set your heart on these things. We should ask God to cleanse our motives. You see, God looks on both the outside, but He also looks on the inside. He looks at what we do, and He looks at the intention with which we did it. And some religious teachers will tell you all that matters is your outside works, your external things that you do. But Jesus teaches here that your heart matters, that your heart behind something matters, your intention behind something matters. Yes, the deed matters too, but the intention behind it also matters. Yeah, is praying in the street a good thing? Absolutely. But what the Pharisees would do, they would pick the time of day that was most crowded. They would go to the street corner just so people could hear them pray so loudly and think of how great and spiritual they were. Even our heart is so corrupt and perverted that we can take good things and make them ungodly. We can. I think anybody that has noticed the hypocrisy in some members of the church, and even some downright abominable sin in some members of some churches, I think everybody can attest to that. So my question is, where is your treasure? What is your motive? What is your heart for? Jesus instructed His disciples earlier in this same chapter how to pray with a correct form of mind. Then He instructed them how to fast as not draw attention to themselves. Then how to give secretly to avoid us getting praised, because God is the one that deserves all praise. I'm not saying it's wrong to honor those who deserve honor. I'm not saying that. You know, it's good to build other people up and good to thank them for a job well done. But the point is that God deserves our praise. God is the one that through whom all blessings flow. So God sees past the outward and looks at our heart. That doesn't mean He doesn't see the outward, but He sees our hearts. Your treasure tells you where your heart is. Is it in heaven? Is it in Jesus? Is Jesus the love of your life? Is he your chief affection? When Christians tell me that, oh, XYZ, my girlfriend, my wife, my husband, my boyfriend, whatever, is my everything, I step back and say, how do you not have an idol? How have you not made her into an idol or him into an idol? Jesus is our everything. Jesus is the one we live for. Yes, you can have great affection and love for your spouse, and you should. But even greater still, your love for Jesus should be paramount. Your love for Jesus should be above all other things. It should be the most important thing in your life. So my question is your heart fixed on earth or on heaven? It is not a bad thing to love your spouse, but one day your spouse will die. One day your spouse will die. One day you will die. Jesus himself is the only eternal object of our affection. Is he where your treasure is? Is your treasure in heaven? Is he the thing that you are looking for? Is he really your primary motive? There are a lot of Christians today that if you looked at their lives, if you looked at how they spend their time, if you looked at the things they want to be doing, I'm not even saying spend their time, what they want to be doing, it wouldn't be focusing on Jesus, talking to Jesus, reading about Jesus. It wouldn't be any of that. I dare say most of us, if not all of us, fall short there. And Jesus knows this. But is our heart, this is a reminder, is our heart fixed on earth or heaven? So we move on from the motive now to the meaning. Wealth is an enemy God. Now, here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that wealth is necessarily bad. I'm not saying that wealthy people automatically go to hell. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying that wealth can be an enemy God. The love of money is the root of all evil. If your eye is fixated on having more, 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 if we have greed toward having all the things and doing anything at all to become wealthy, eventually you're going to find that you're willing to do anything to get more wealth. This includes things of gross immorality. This includes things that are even illegal or, and dare I say, sinful. How many people do you know that are willing to do anything to make a dollar? Anything. I would dare say Hollywood and a lot of the entertainment industry, it was willingly sold their soul to the devil to make more money. I mean, that's a common trope at this point, but we're coming out and seeing a lot of celebrities and such that literally have done this. They made a deal with the devil to become more popular or become more wealthy. And if it comes between serving God or money, I mean, the obvious choice is serving God, but do our hearts really choose God most of the time? If you would stand to lose money, especially a substantial amount, by doing something that you know is God's will, would you make that choice? Would you make the choice to serve God instead of gaining all that money? Now, again, this does not mean necessary provision. This does not mean that you can't work hard to earn a living, especially as a man, you are accountable to God to provide for your household. But what it does definitely mean is don't make that your primary focus in life. God will provide. If our heart is to always get more and 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 more money, if that's our goal, if our goal is to always have more stuff, more stuff, more stuff, if that's our heart, we need to repent. Because we've made a foreign god. We've made an idol. So verse 22. Don't let your eye be clouded by ungodly loves. If the eye is the lamp of the body, so then if your eye is clear, the eye is the lamp of the body, so then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. Is your body, is your eye focused on ungodly things? And this is not just money. This is anything that is outside the will of God. This could be lust. For a lot of people, it is lust. It's not necessarily money that they serve, but it's lust. It's the lust of their flesh. And if you let it into your eye, how cloudy is your soul going to be? How dark is your soul going to become? The poor can be just as greedy as the rich. This is something I want to highlight. The poor person is not necessarily more holy than a rich person. Not necessarily. You get the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, but the rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. The rich man went to hell because he was unrepentant. Lazarus didn't go to heaven because he was poor. He went to heaven because he was repentant. He understood that he was a sinner inside of a holy God and he needed God's grace. And he was willing to receive God's grace. No one can serve two masters. Nobody can. You may have two jobs. You may have two jobs. For an earthly example, you may have two jobs, but can you work both jobs at the exact same time and place? No, you can't. You can't serve two bosses in two different ways at the exact same time. You can't. So, you can't serve the master of God and the master of mammon, as the Bible says. You cannot serve both. There are a lot of people today that are willing to do literally anything they can to break their back for money. And it's interesting that there are some Christians who would say that, well, I don't serve money. I don't serve money. I serve God. But at the same time, they're willing to put more energy and effort into making money than they are into serving God. And that should be, you know, an indictment for all of us. That should cause us all to check up on ourselves. I want you to also know that love of money causes you to be mastered by the devil. It's not money. It's not the dollar bill that's mastering you. It's the devil. It's the devil that's mastering you if you have a love of money. Again, this does not mean to not be productive. We should be productive. Christians should be the best employees. And again, this is not, it's not wrong to be wealthy. It's not wrong. Here in America, if you live in America, you're among the most wealthy of the most wealthy, even if you live below what is considered the poverty line in America. When you allow money to become your master, you are denying that God is a loving, holy Father who will provide for you. And that brings us to our third point. Our first point was our motive. What is our motive? Is our motive correct? Then the meaning behind this passage, and then finally, the master and dependence on him. The master, God will supply our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Jesus himself provides for us, and that gives us security. There are people, and I know it's tempting, because I've fallen into this before myself, that it's tempting to think that, well, if I have more money, if I have double the money that I have currently, if I have triple the money I have currently, then I'll be secure. I won't have to worry about a thing. I'll be fine. I'll be perfectly secure. But that's wrong-headed. That's incredibly wrong-headed. Because money is very fickle. Money is very fickle. You can just as easily gain a tremendous amount of it as you can easily lose a tremendous amount of it. And if you think I'm wrong there, someone who won the lottery just scratched a ticket or put some numbers on a ticket, won millions, and then they lost it very, very quickly. We are replete. We have tons of examples where people who winning the lottery has actually ruined their life with all that money. So God cares about the motive. God cares about the doing. Because God is to be our master, not anything else. Christian, you're not to be mastered by anything but God. What I am saying, or what I'm not saying, is providing is not bad. Providing is not bad. It's biblical. We're also not to be a poor steward of our money either. Someone might come, the devil probably will come to you and say, well, listen, if you're not giving all your money to this, and this, then you're a poor Christian. You're not committing charity. But we also need to be a good steward of our money. I'm not saying don't help people. You can help people, but understand that helping people monetarily can sometimes be enablement. It can be enablement to commit sin. Don't be a poor steward of your finances that God has given you. Some final thoughts. When we wrongly think that security is in wealth. It's not. It's in God. Give, of course, but do it for His glory. Be content with what you have. And of course, if you have the ability, the reasonable ability to move up and to better provide for your family, by all means, that is perfectly fine. As long as you're not doing anything immoral, as long as you are serving God chiefly. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. So use your resources now for an eternal good. Use your resources now for internal growth. Don't allow yourself to be mastered by money. Where is your treasure? Is your treasure in this earth, things that will burn and rust and be destroyed? Is your treasure in material things that somebody could easily come along and steal, or something that could easily burn up and go away? Or is your treasure in the eternal God? Do you love God? Are you hoping for God? Are you hoping for Jesus? Is that your eternal motivation? Is that why you get up in the morning? Is he the reason you get up in the morning? Where is your treasure? We see our treasure and our motive in the meaning behind this scripture. And hopefully you rest your treasure in the Master.